The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers who were seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. I've actually had some people say, "What's so important about St. John Lateran? Why is it bigger than a Sunday, like the normal 31st Sunday in ordinary time, which would be today?" Or the 32nd, actually, the 32nd Sunday, because we didn't have a Sunday last week either. I even had a priest ask me, "Who was this St. John Lateran anyway?" If you look for St. John Lateran in the saints' books, you will not find him. And yet, the oldest basilica of the Western world is named St. John Lateran. What people don't really know about is that in the year 313, a family named Laterani gave their farm and their palace to Constantine. It was a very nice palace, apparently. And when Constantine declared Christianity legal in the Roman Empire in 324, Constantine gave the Lateran Palace and land to Pope Sylvester I. And on this land, they built the cathedral of what they called the Cathedral of the Most Holy Savior. And then it was subconsecrated to St. John the Evangelist and St. John the Baptist, which is why it's called St. John. But the official name is St. John in Laterano. It's the place. Now, I'm going to come back to that idea of place here in a minute. It is the cathedral of the Bishop of Rome, who happens to be the Pope. And it was the Pope's residence until the Middle Ages. They built a church there, the oldest church, as I said. In 324, it was begun. Unfortunately, at the time of the Middle Ages, it fell into decline, and it wasn't restored until 1630 to 1635 in the Baroque style that we see today. And I have a picture of it on the front bulletin cover, and there's a little description at the bottom of that about how, if you listen to the first reading today, the heavenly Jerusalem descends from heaven, and at each of its gates there is an apostle, right? So you walk into St. John Lateran, and the first thing you notice is this row, these rows of 12 apostles on either side with door, literal doors in the church. So that when you go sit in that church, you are the elect in the glorious kingdom of God, which is what the church represents. In that church, it's interesting, I find it interesting, that the relics that are found there are the skulls of St. Peter and St. Paul. There is a fragment of the table used at the Last Supper. There is the original wooden altar said to be St. Peter's altar. And all of this happened long before, well, not really long before, but it wasn't until 349, 25 years later, that St. Peter's Basilica on Vatican Hill was actually constructed, was finished by Constantine as well. It's called Vatican, like this is called the Lateran, because it's the place, Vatican Hill. And the Vatican City state was not even established until February 11, 1929, at which time they became the Vatican, named after the hill, by a treaty called the Lateran Treaty, which was agreed upon at the restored palace of St. John in Laterano by the Holy See and the Kingdom of Italy. So now you know about St. John Lateran. Why is it so important, though? Well, you know, we celebrated the dedication of our church on the 13th of last month. It was a day when we had a mass in the evening and the choir sang beautifully and everything. Not that many people came, but it's very important for parishes to celebrate the consecration of the, it's technically the consecration of the altar in a particular place. So October 13 is ours. We also celebrate the dedication of the Cathedral of St. Thomas More. That's a big feast day in the church. It doesn't come, well, if it fell on a Sunday, I don't think we'd celebrate it, but anyway. Then we have the celebration of the Lateran Basilica in Rome, because it is the cathedral of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. The word cathedral comes from the word cathedra, which is a special chair that is built that sits in the cathedral. It's the chair of power, the chair of authority that only the bishop can sit in. And so that's why they call it a cathedral. So why are these churches so important? Well, I want to talk a little bit about that first reading today, because I think it's one of the most beautiful readings that we have in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. It talks about this water that flows from beneath the altar. This is a story, it's a vision. It's a vision that was given to tell us about the overwhelming grace of God. And if you've ever been to the temple in Jerusalem, how many have been to the temple in Jerusalem? The Temple Mount, yeah. So if you can imagine what they're talking about, Jerusalem is on a hill. It's on a mountain, really. And if you travel to the east, as the water flows in the scripture, you drop about 4,000 feet right in a period of like 7 miles, 4,000 feet. It just goes down and down and down. It's called the Judean Desert, and nothing grows there. And if you keep going about 800 feet below sea level, you find the Dead Sea, where it's really dead. It's been dead for millions of years. There's nothing growing in the Dead Sea. And then in the first reading today, we hear about how the water, the grace of God, flows into all that dryness and transforms it. The river that flows, it produces trees along its banks that become food for the nations, and the leaves are medicine. And it refreshes the waters, and the reading says the fish begin to grow there, and everything is alive again. That's what happens here. That's what happens at our cathedral. That's what happens at John Lateran. It happens in every church, because every church has an anniversary of dedication, right? You know, when I talk to people who say they've been in this country for 8 generations or whatever, I always say, well, you know, everybody's been in some country for 8 generations. We just don't know. Sometimes we don't know where. Every church has this opportunity to be this overflowing fountain of grace. Because why? Because it is the presence of God who comes here to reside with us. You remember the stories of when God came to the temple and it was so filled with smoke, they had to stop their rituals because the God's presence was so overwhelming. That's why we use incense, I think, because it kind of reminds us that you can't see the face of God, but it's the Holy of Holies, right? But there's not only one Holy of Holies. Every church where God lives with his people is a Holy of Holies. But it goes even further than that. Because Jesus talks about the temple that that will be destroyed, and in 3 days he will restore. I think the second reading says, "You are the stones. It is you. You are the living place where God wants to come and dwell." So this church and the cathedral and the Basilica of St. John in Lateran, they're all symbols also of who you are. And your soul is more beautiful than the most beautiful tabernacle in the world. We have a pretty nice one here, thanks to Father Kevin. But this is nothing in comparison with you. In fact, the Basilica of St. John Lateran is nothing in comparison with you. St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, as grand as it is, has no comparison to your soul. These are all places that we're able to build, but we are what God built, right? And so we try to express this beauty of this spiritual life that God gives us in tangible forms, and it becomes our home, and it becomes God's home, and we dwell together. So that's why we celebrate today. And it's one of those feast days that can come and go. In fact, it usually does without any notice at all. But it happened to fall on a Sunday today, so I'm pretty sure God wanted us to hear about this.